with Brian Bulaga in as our cousin sub of the day, and Riley Yalkin as our cousin sub of the day for Jesse rolls on. All right, Brian. So you had the joint practice in 19 with the Texans, and then you left us for the sunny shores of California, and we had COVID in 2020, so there were no joint practices that year. And then 2021 was your last year in the league, right? Did
yep.
you did they do any joint practices in 21, or were we still COVIDing, so you just it was just you guys with your fellow Chargers?
No, we had a joint practice with the 49ers.
Okay. What is the best thing about doing those, and what is the drawback, if there is any?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is the actual when things don't erupt, like majority of joint practices do, not all of them, when things don't erupt into chaos, right, and both sides are handling the session as they should, right, as professionals, and both sides are trying to get good work in, mm-hmm. And it's a clean practice, no one's doing anything cheap or dirty, because the minute one thing happens, right, like the minute a guy feels like a defender or an offensive guy takes a dirty shot on one of their guys, the rest of the practice is going to spiral, right? So, like, mm-hmm. that's just the way it goes. And it could be something that was innocent, right? Like, it was a mistake, and, like, guys are, oh, man, I'm so, like, you know. But it's always going to spiral. Like, it always happens. It happened when I was in L.A., that practice with the 49ers, I felt like there was a fight every 10 minutes. Like, it was nonstop, just stopping practice, breaking things up. Like, it was just a constant thing. But the benefit, if practice goes smoothly, is you get realistic looks against opposing defenses that you're just not seeing every day, right? You're getting to go against mm-hmm. another team's ones. And the closest thing to live action without tackling and things like that is you're going to get before you go out there week one. Because in all honesty, obviously the Jets played their ones in preseason. But for the most part, teams don't play their ones, right? And the chances both sets of teams are going to play their ones in a preseason game, it's not likely, right? Mm-hmm. Your teams are more inclined to have all their starters do the joint practice, right? Like, they're more, so you're going to see the full array of players in the joint practice, and you get to go against another team's best in that scenario, which is good for everyone, right? You get to test yourself against another team's best and go watch the tape and see how you're progressing as an offense and defense, etc. So that's the upside to it. The downside to it, like I said, are the fights and the stupid things like that. And we're guys, I think, sometimes look at them as a negative, because they, depending on how long the practices go and how many periods there are within the practice, you're looking at, move the ball period, whatever it may be, and how many plays you get throughout that session. Say you run 45, 50 plays and the ones end up taking 35 to 40 plays, man, it's almost half a game, or a little more than half a game, right? And
right.
Guys feel like, man, we just played almost a game out there. Like, that's where guys sometimes feel like the drawback is, because it is more physical than a normal practice, because you are going against another team's, ones. Like, it's not against your own team. And people will think, well, it should be physical when you go Packers versus Packers. Yeah, sure, it's physical, but it's not to that level. It's not the same. That's why guys think it feels like another game you're playing in a practice, because another team's coming in there, you're going to another team's place, and it's like it's game on, man. Like, that's what this is. And that would be what I think guys think is the drawback from it. But if guys act as professionals, right, and you're able to get good work in, and there's no, guys being knuckleheads and starting fights, and the practice goes clean, then there's a lot of benefit to it, in my opinion.
So I remember that Texans once, somebody, I can't remember who it was, that got cheap-shotted by a safety for the Texans. I was trying to look while you were talking in my archives, and I can't find it right away. But you did 2 days, and the first day was fine, and then the second day, as you put it, spiraled big time. And I believe they even stopped practice early because it was getting so ugly. So the trend now is 1 day, then a day off, then you play that team in the preseason game. And it seemed, from all reports yesterday, that there were no issues in terms of behavior, right? I mean, I think the Bengals, was it 2 years ago? The 23 preseason, the Packers went to Cincinnati, and Elton got kicked out because he got into a fight. I think there was one where... was it Miles Garrett or Aaron Donald? Somebody was like had somebody's helmet and was swinging it around. Yeah, we don't want that. But so they avoided those types of issues yesterday. But you know, we talked earlier about the Packers' offense. Like I'm not losing belief in Malik Willis, but you know, he had Matthew Golden and a group of guys that we don't anticipate being on the 53-man roster at wide receiver. The defense had its way with the Colts offense. They had, I think, three interceptions. They forced fumbles. Like, it sounded like they had a very good day. My question again for you, Brian, is, you know, last year they had the Baltimore Ravens come in. Baltimore Ravens, pretty good offense. MVP quarterback. Colts, Anthony Richardson, when those tiers of quarterbacks came out on The Athletic earlier this week. I mean, again, he's the guy that came out of the game because he was tired, which did not go over well last year. So how much stock would you put into a dominant performance by the Packers' defensive starters against the Colts group?
You know, I think you have to... I mean, you got to give them some credit, right? Like, I think I don't think I read into it too much. Like, if you're looking at it from a, you know, from a pass game standpoint, you know, if how dominant they were, you know, I guess I don't give too much stock into that because obviously Anthony Richardson is not the elite passer as it. At this point in his career that, you know, we would just say like Lamar Jackson is, right? Like they're not that type of offense, so to speak. But how they were able to, I guess, rush the passer is a really good sign, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's something you could look at. And obviously how they stacked up against the run. It sounds like from all phases of defense, they were really good, right? So, and that's kind of the way the Colts operate is they run the ball well. You know, they have a fairly decent offensive line from a, you know, I don't know all their starters, but they have a pretty good interior line. They run the ball. So if they were able to do a good job, you know, stopping the run in that practice, which we all saw, was probably a point of emphasis after the Jets game. Would be my guess after kind of what we saw in those first couple series against the Jets, and the Jets kind of had their way running the ball. And if you look at Anthony Richardson and what he's probably able to – I mean, I don't watch a bunch of Colts, so, like, I can't really comment on the style of offense. I did play for Shane Steichen my first year in L.A., so I know Shane. Great guy, by the way. I mean, phenomenal guy. Like, so, like, obviously Matt – coordinating a practice with him. Like, I'm not shocked no fights happen because Shane is a really good guy. I think a really good football coach. So that doesn't surprise me that nothing broke out there because Shane's good. But I would imagine that, like, the way Richardson does things is probably, very similar to the way the Jets do things, right? They probably try to get him outside the perimeter and break contain so he can have that run-pass option. And that's what kind of stung Green Bay last week, right? And the Colts have a good running back. So you have that those threats that you can get beat a couple ways. And obviously it sounds like Green Bay's defense, you know, figured some things out from the Jets to going to Indy and playing the Colts, which I think is good, right? Like, that's what you needed to see from those first couple series against the Jets to what they did against Colts. So there's some positives. Now, like, to say they picked them off three times, like, okay, like, all right, that's good. You should, right? Like, I think, like, if you're pressuring Richardson that much and he's throwing balls in the air, like, yeah, I mean, you should be able to snag a couple of those and bring them down, right? Like, and that's good. But again, if our D line's doing their job, you should be able to do that to a lot of quarterbacks. If you're harassing quarterbacks and they're having to just force balls down the field and it's jump balls, yeah, I mean, you feel good about our defense bringing down a couple of those. So, like, that is a good sign in itself. But I look at it more from what they did in the run game, because I think the Colts have a good run offense, and they obviously did a good job with that. And that's something I think they could take home, you know, back to Green Bay with them.
Packers and Colts play tomorrow at noon. Is it just me, or is that a weird time for a preseason game?
Well, you know why it's weird? The NFL is going to try to compete with the opening day of the Premier League, and they're probably not going to do well in the States with that. Like, they're just not.
Certainly
like,
not with games that don't count.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's games that don't count, and then the opening day of the EPL. Yeah, it's just I don't understand the noon kickoff times. Like, I don't get that, right? Like, start them at like 3 o'clock or
that's what
something,
they do next week,
you know?
with the Seahawks game. So who does your club, what is it, Tottenham Hotspur? That's your team, right?
No, just kidding.
You're a Manchester City guy, right?
Yes.
So who does Man City start with tomorrow?
The Wolverhampton Wanderers. Wolves.
I think I learned about them watching Ted Lasso season either 2 or 3. All right, well, good luck to them. They've got that guy that kind of looks like Clay Matthews, right? Their big stud scoring machine.
Oh, Man City, Haaland?
Yeah. Doesn't he look a little like Clay Matthews? Am I wrong about that?
Well, they got the hair. They got the hair.
All right. This has been your soccer minute on Bulaga and Tausch. All right, we need to play trivia. It is not about soccer. Riley, did you do these yourself? Did you get the clear go-ahead from the tyrant that is usually in charge of trivia, Jesse Nelson?
Yes, I did. These are all my questions, my category. I picked the Indianapolis Colts since the Packers are playing the Colts. I went with the low-hanging fruit.
Were you wearing your Goodwill Eric Dickerson hat that your uncle or dad
my
or
godfather.
Grandpa got you? You were not wearing them. Wearing that hat while you were writing this?
No, I should have, though. May have helped with the inspiration. I should have done a trick question. Who is my Colts hat autographed by? That would have been good.
All right. Since this is your show, what caller do you want?
Let's go number 18. Caller 18 for legendary Colts quarterback Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. All right. Caller 18 right now. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 18 to play Riley Yauch's Indianapolis Colts trivia. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. Of nondescript NFL franchises, the Tausch would say unsexy franchises. The Colts are one of them, right? Like, they had that run with Peyton Manning, obviously. Andrew Luck for a period. But in recent years, and I like JT23, although does he wear 23 for them? Or does he wear 28?
28.
Anyway. they're kind of a nondescript team, aren't they? They're kind of a mess.
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. I mean, I think ever since Luck left, right? Like, I think once Andy Luck left, it was kind of, I don't know, like they haven't recovered from it, right? Like, it's just been a, like, kind of a franchise that's just kind of, you know, they're okay, right? Like, they don't have, like, those years that they only win, like, four games, but, like, they just haven't, like, recovered fully from him retiring out of the blue. Like, as though it's just one of those things that I get it. It's hard when a guy like that just stops playing, right? Like, a quarterback especially. But at the same time, like, they've been drafting quarterbacks, and it just hasn't worked out. I don't know.
The Indianapolis Colts were 8-9 last year, 9-8 the year before that, 4-12, 9-8, 11-5 back in 2020 with Frank Reich as their coach. But yeah, they've been meh. I mean, they've had a couple of seasons in there, but again, let's find out more about them while we play trivia. To welcome our contestant, it is Sean in Waukesha. Sean, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Brian Bulaga will do question two if it's okay with him. I'm used to my sidekick frequently just not participating in trivia. Question number one, Sean, is this. Where did legendary Colts tight end Dallas Clark play his college football? Did he play Iowa State, Iowa, or Bishop Sycamore?
I'm going to go with A.
Iowa State.
Iowa.
Like one Brian Bulaga, he is a proud Iowa alumnus.
Iowa.
Did you guys play together, Brian?
No. No.
He's a lot older than
you. We were pretty far apart. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than I am.
Just a little. All right. Question two, Brian.
All right. Question two. The Colts defeated the Dallas Cowboys 16-13 in Super Bowl V. Which was the first Super Bowl, or which was the first Super Bowl that was played on artificial turf, was played at night, or went into overtime?
Huh. Let's go with went into overtime.
Sean, we're off to a tough start.
Not doing so good.
That's a tough question, though. Honestly, like that's a tough question.
I didn't know this. I learned something new. That was the first Super Bowl played on artificial turf, unless Riley pulled a Jesse and has incorrect information in his question, which has been known to happen with Jesse once or twice. Yeah, I didn't know that. So there you go. That's one to grow on. All right, Sean, rare opportunity here. Very rarely in show history have we gotten the first two wrong and then gotten the third one right. So let's make a little bit of history here. Question three. How many former Wisconsin Badgers are currently on the Colts roster? Is it one, three, or five?
Oh, boy. I thought there was at least one. I'm going to go with three because the Badgers are so good.
Jonathan Taylor, Tanner Bordellini, and Hunter Wohler. Three is correct.
All right,
Sean, Badgers. Way to finish with a strong finishing kick, my friend. You got one right. That means you got two entries. Riley, are you cleared to also do the drawing today?
Oh, yes. Yes, I shall.
All right.
You got a shot, Sean.
All right, Sean. You got two entries into the cheese fry helmet of victory. Good luck, buddy. Thanks for your loyalty to the show.
Yes, sir. Go Packers.
All right. That is Will Diatoush trivia. Speaking of Go Packers, the green and gold game preview, during which we will hear far more. And I've been getting a few requests, by the way, both on the private talk and text line and in the YouTube comments. People want an update on Riley's dating situation. We will save
Doesn't
for
everybody.
Will Riley. What did you, I'm sorry?
Just said, doesn't everybody.
Could be a short update. I don't know what's going
on
over there. But we'll get to that in Woe Riley. We will hear more from Riley, though, for our green and gold game preview, which is next. It's Will Diatoush. Quick question before we get to the green and gold game preview. So our friend Joe Thomas, man, we got a lot of great offensive linemen in our stable. He sent me this hat along with some of his beef, which I got to say, Paul and the girls are headed to Auntie Vicky's place in Chicago for the weekend. So I'm on my own without the vegetarians. So I'm going to grill some of the Joe Thomas Hall of Fame beef for it's what's for dinner for me while they're gone. But I'm Riley, you're a young chap. I think I've seen 47 brand has these hats. They call them the dad hat because they've got kind of the, you know, you curve the brim like old people like me do. This is a flat brim and I feel very awkward.
No, I think the hat looks good. I mean, that's that's what's in style right now.
Yeah.
I think that's more, that's
stylish.
Definitely more of a, does it have the mesh back? I think that'd be a trucker hat, technically. Yep. It's a trucker hat. So if you like what's trendy, that's the hat to wear.
It's not only that, but, all right, so Brian, you're not nearly as old as me. But I also remember, and it's got this, there's like this new, it's fashion is cyclical, clearly, because, and I'm going to hold this up to the camera for those watching on video who are still waiting for the jiu-jitsu videos and a commercial break, but it's got this like braided, like rope across the front too. I'm noticing that has also made a big comeback. Brian, I'm guessing your dad had a bunch of hats like that.
Like with the rope on it?
Yeah. Like old school. Like I'm probably closer in age to him than I am to you, sadly.
Yeah, he had some old sports hats with that type of style. Like that.
White Sox hats like that? What was your baseball team growing up in Chicagoland? White Sox?
Yeah. Yeah, we were White Sox fans.
How's that going for you these days?
I mean, they stink. They stink. But they did get a World Series in 05. So, like, you know, that's supposed to, like, keep us happy for, like, another 50 years or something like that. That's the math on that, I think.
Only 30 to go. All right, time now for our green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
All right, fellas, it's time for our big three questions for the Packers heading into their second preseason matchup with the Indianapolis Colts, starting with what is the most important storyline leading into the second preseason game, or should I say the most compelling storyline leading into this game?
Brian, you get to go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I think, obviously, what I'm interested in is who's going to be playing in this game, right? Like, I mean, I think Matt LaFleur, Coach LaFleur, has made it clear that, you know, starters won't be playing. We don't know that for sure until they go out there. But if they don't, with the injuries that we've already had, who's going to be playing where and how's the team going to be set up? Because that's what I'm interested to see. We all obviously know Malik Willis is going to be starting, obviously. But what does the team look like around him? What does the offense look like? And obviously, defensively, who lines up on defense where and who's starting? And to me, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing is, like, what guys are available to play a full game.
Let me ask you a question before I answer then, because I do think there's going to be a mishmash of guys. And I didn't see, I have not done my requisite reading this morning. We had a few things going on. I didn't see if she did any 11-on-11 yesterday against the Colts. My instinct is probably not. But if you're the Packers, are you playing Jordan Morgan? Like, you don't have to play Zach Tom. You don't have to play Elton. But are you playing Jordan Morgan if you're deciding that, Brian?
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna too. I'm gonna play him for a couple series to see if that trend continues, right? Like, and now he's got to go do it on the road, right? Like, so now he did it at home. Now he goes in and see how he does on the road. And I know he may not play the starters, but it's just to see if the trend of how he's been playing continues, right? That's the whole point of a competition, is to see if the consistency continues to be there. So, like, I would give him a couple series just to see if he continues to put on the same type of performances.
So I have an unpopular opinion that I have voiced many, many times over the years. I love the preseason. I love preseason games. I do. I know that is not a commonplace feeling. But and look, it's not for guys like you, Brian. It's not. It's not for first-round picks. It's not for decade-long starters in the NFL. For those guys, I would never play them. I've made that very clear. I am not risking. I am Ted Thompson 2.0. I'm bubble wrapping my guys. And I love the joint practices for them because they're so much less likely. They're not being tackled to the ground. Yeah, you guys are mixing it up in the trenches, but it's way more of a controlled environment for me to get my reps for my guys that I see as irreplaceable. I know it's next man up. But I don't. They're the guys that I don't want to have to replace at any point this season. So those guys, joint practices, and then, hey, guys, enjoy wearing the latest sideline lounge wear on game day. I do not want you out there. But I love the preseason for the guys that are trying to keep their NFL dream alive. The guys that are the underdogs. You know, you played with a guy who is, again, one of my favorites that I covered, Lucas Patrick. Lucas Patrick built one hell of an NFL career. And he's a guy that in 16 was in as a tryout guy. Not only was he undrafted, he didn't even get signed after the draft. And then he has a good rookie camp as a tryout guy, earns that contract, ends up on the practice squad, and then ends up becoming a guy that started a ton of games in Green Bay and then in Chicago and I think in New Orleans last year. Those are the guys that make me love the preseason. And so I don't know who those guys are going to be tomorrow at noon. One of the guys that I really like, who I talked to at midweek because he's made some plays, is Cornelius Johnson. Now, you as an Iowa guy and me as a Wisconsin guy are enjoying the fact that Michigan is getting hammered by the NCAA, which I didn't even know had power anymore. But he's a Michigan guy. And in spite of that, I kind of like him. Smart guy, interesting to talk to, and has done some good things. But we're talking about him. We're talking about Julian Hicks, if you're familiar with his work. He was on the practice squad last year. Isaiah Nayor, who they picked up. Will Shepard, who they got right before camp started. These are guys, they picked up a guy yesterday, Kawan Baker, off of waivers from the Raiders. Like, it's going to be, who's that guy? Who's that? Like, if you're just a regular old Packers fan watching the offense, there's going to be a lot of guys you don't know who they are because it's not your job to know who they are. And they're probably not going to be on the roster when the season gets here. But maybe one does. Maybe one has a moment, right, and earns a spot and makes them give him more opportunities. And whether that's Cornelius Johnson or somebody else, that is the most important storyline to me because Brian's right. Let's not do anything stupid here and get anybody hurt before September 7th. Riley, what's next?
All right, on to question two. You guys have already talked about a few players, but who is the most important player that you'll be watching most intently on Saturday afternoon?
I mean, yeah, we kind of hit on it. Well, there's two, right? Like, I mean, I think if Golden plays, obviously that's important to see how he does. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll play, but if he does play, him, and then obviously if Jordan Morgan is playing, I'll be watching that very closely too. Because if you look at the rest of the team, I mean, like, yeah, everyone, I hate to diminish anyone. Everyone's important that goes out there and plays and is fighting for their, you know, for their NFL lives. I get that, but like, the left tackle is the remaining position battle left on this team. Like, that is it. Like, everything else you could say is essentially settled on the roster. I get injuries are a thing right now, but, I mean, you look at it, everything's essentially settled. The left tackle job is not. So, like, if one of those guys that is competing for that job goes out there and plays, obviously everyone should be paying attention to that because he's giving you a little showcase of what he's all about, and like that's a big story. So like, to me, that would, those two guys are what I'll be paying attention to.
So you got those two. I'm gonna have to take someone else, and again, I don't know because he's a starter, but another Iowa guy, I want to see more of Lucas Van Ness. It's kind of like the defensive version of Jordan Morgan, like trust but verify. Like, he's having a good camp. I would like to see him verify that with some more production in a game. And I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth now because this is a guy who was affected by a broken thumb all season last year. So do I really want to put him out there and potentially, and again, there's risk in everything, but potentially stunt the growth that we've seen from him by getting him hurt in a game that doesn't count? If you're LaFleur or you're Jeff Hafley, are you playing LVN tomorrow?
To be honest with you, like, I'm going to say yes. Like, there's certain guys that, and I'm not saying he needs to play a bunch, right? Like, but I think he needs to continue to go out there to keep the momentum that he has, right? Like, there's something to say, like, oh, I don't, like, we're worried about getting him hurt. But, like, I get that, but, like, there's something to be said about keeping guys rolling and letting that momentum continue to build for them, right? Like, and let them, you know, staying hot, as they say, like, stay hot.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what this is for him. There's certain guys in the preseason, and, like, I did it as in my third year or fourth year, I was going out there in preseason and play, and there was no question. Brian, you're playing. You're playing a quarter. You're playing a half. We went out there and did it. With LaFleur, I went out there and played a half against Baltimore, LaFleur's first year. I mean, it was just the way it went. Like, sometimes you just got to go and do it. It doesn't sound like the guys are going to get extensive work, but just to keep things going, I don't see anything wrong with playing a series or two. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
That's my guy, then, LVN. All right, one more.
Last one from me. Besides avoiding injury, Saturday's preseason game will be considered a success if blank. Fill it in.
Obviously that it doesn't look like last week, right? Like, I mean, that's the start. Like, you have to show improvement from last week. And I get it's not going to be the starters, so that's going to be hard to tell, but it sounds as if defensively, improvements have been made, right? Offensively, we have no idea because we're down four wide receivers and a starting quarterback. So, obviously, whenever a starting quarterback and that many guys are out, it's hard to tell. But what you want to see is growth, you know, from the entire team, right? Offense, defense, special teams, and that you see progression from last week. And that's what the preseason is about, seeing progression from week to week. So, if they win or lose, I mean, obviously it matters to the guys there, but to me, don't care. But I want to see progression. I want to see a little more, like, I don't know, a little more fight. Like, it didn't seem like there was much juice on that field. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that against Indy. And to me, that's really all I'm looking for, right? Like, obviously no injuries. and a little more juice and just progression from what we saw last week.
So I want to, you know what I want to see? I want to see their offensive line effectively protect Malik Willis so he can throw the football with time to throw. Because I want to see what he can do. Because, look, we know what he was able to do last year, and he deserves a ton of credit for that. Ideally, though, if disaster strikes and he has to play again this season, you would like him to be able to do a little more in the passing game, right? He had that huge throw to Reed in the win in Jacksonville to set up the game-winning field goal. That was huge. That was a big-time, big-boy throw. But I would like to see him have enough time. So that means Jacob Monk's got to play better. It means I'd like to see more of Anthony Belton so you can break him down for us. Like, I want to see those guys, and I want to see them play well. It's a success if that offensive, that second unit of the offensive line is effective, and then it allows Malik Willis to show what he's capable of in throwing the ball to some of these guys that I just mentioned that a lot of Packers fans aren't familiar with. So that's mine for that. All right, Riley, good job on the green and gold game preview. Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. Did Jesse and Tausch remember to send theirs in?
No.
That's hard to believe. It's preseason for everyone. We will do ours, Brian's, mine, and Riley's next. It's Wilde and Tausch. I know, but I know one thing, that I love you.
Metaphysical man, but I know when the stars all aligned, you can bump into a person in the middle of the road.
We roll on with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Time now. I don't know how many times you've gotten to play this little game that we have been playing since the show began nearly a decade ago. Time now for our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
Indeed, from the people that brought you Mark Tauscher picking Matthew Golden as his Sleeper of the Week last week, it is time for the Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week. Brian, again, because you are our cousin sub, you are our guest, we give you the honors, Your Honor.
All right. So, my sleeper is, and I'm fairly certain he's going to play, Marshawn Lloyd is mine. So that's who I'm going to go with. If he gets reps, that would be the guy that I'm going to go with. I'm excited to see him play if he does play.
I hope for that young man that A, he does play, B, he plays well, and C, he comes out of the game as healthy as he went into it.
Yep.
I don't know if I can think of a guy whose career got off to a more unlucky start injury-wise than him. I've never seen anything like it. And so I hope although Savion Williams is off to a start, which makes me nervous that he's got the bad luck has transformed and changed to him. So hopefully that stops for Savion Williams as well. But that's a great pick. That is absolutely, and he is one of the guys. In fact, I'm going to do my three things to watch for Channel 3000 later today, and he's one of them because I think a lot of people, not just you or me or Riley, I think a lot of people in the building have been looking forward to seeing him play in games because I think they feel like he's got a chance to be a special, kind of unique type of back for them. So great choice by Brian. I'm going to stick with my Michigan guy. It pains me to do it, but Cornelius Johnson at wide receiver. Lots of opportunity in this game for a bunch of wide receivers that are little known. My second choice was going to be Messiah Swinson, the tight end, who a bold strategy. I did not ever consider Messiah as one of the names for our children when they came along. Messiah Bulaga kind of rolls right off the tongue. But big dude. He's like 6'6", Like, they've kept him around on the practice squad. I think they have kind of their four for the active roster, but he's made some strides. Messiah Swinson, a guy to watch as well if you're sticking around in the third and fourth quarters of the telecast. All right, Riley, who you taking?
I'm going to go with the guy who got an interception yesterday at joint practice, Isaiah Simmons at linebacker. That's really the only thing I'm going off of. I was going to do Keyshawn Nixon, but that seemed at self-proclaimed CB1. I don't know how I felt about that as a sleeper. So I'm going Isaiah Simmons, linebacker.
Yeah, Tausch would have been proud of you had you chosen the number one corner. And by the way, I don't think he's going to play. I don't think any of those guys are going to be put at risk tomorrow. So good choice by you, because Isaiah Simmons. By the way, Brian, when you watched the film, did you see the play where it's the completion over the middle to the fullback? And Isaiah Simmons, that's what happens. It was bad. Like, it was,
yeah,
it was really, really not good. And look, all players have those moments, and I'm not picking on him because he is an intriguing athlete. But, I mean, he's the first linebacker I've ever seen who was a number one flyer slash gunner on punt coverage. He's a unicorn in terms of his ability. But when you have a snap like that, what happens in the film room?
Normally, coaches aren't there to try to embarrass you. Normally, that's done already by watching. Everyone's watching, right? So, like, that's, you're embarrassed already, right, by what has happened. So the coaches don't try to pile on. Obviously, they make the correction. They probably ask, hey, what were you thinking here? What happened? And you talk through it, and that's normally the way that works out, right? Like, they're not there to pile on, because most of the time, guys are their harshest critic most of the time. So, they don't need a coach to tell them this is awful, because the answer would be like, yeah, I know. Like, thank you. Like, I'm well aware of that. Like, so it's just a matter of, like, cleaning up. Like, obviously, he was either not fully on board with the assignment, or his eyes were bad with what he was reading. So it's a matter of, like, cleaning up those things for him so that doesn't happen again. And that's really what that session would be, to clean those things up for him. Because otherwise, like, how else do you correct that? I don't know how else.
I'm kind of cut from that cloth myself. Like, I know I already, you know, effed up. I don't want to relive it. I know how bad it was. So it's good to know that. Now, if it's a guy that can take a little bit of ribbing, maybe they give him a little bit of a hard time, an established guy who has one bad snap in an otherwise really good game. But, that was tough for him. It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour, but those are our Steinhoffels Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffels. And Labor Day isn't even here yet, and yet the Labor Day sale is already on at Steinhoffels, and you can shop it early. Save 10% off store-wide and take advantage of 36-month 0% interest financing. Either one of those are options to you. And check this out. Get a queen bed for just $489, a dining table for just $599, and big savings on Tempur-Pedic adjustable base sets up to $700 off with 60-month 0% financing. Steinhoffels is Wisconsin's go-to for furniture and mattresses, so shop in-store and online at steinhoffels.com. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.